This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us today. Hundreds of state workers this week are protesting a proposal by Governor Scott Walker to reduce benefits and end collective bargaining for state employee unions. These provisions are part of a budget repair bill the governor introduced this month, and he says they would save the state roughly $30 million through the end of the fiscal year. They would require state workers to pay over double their current portion of health insurance premiums, or more than 12%, and would require them to contribute 5.8% of their salary towards pensions. The governor says those moves put public sector employees more in line with their private sector counterparts. But the area that has many public employees especially upset is the end to collective bargaining in all areas except base pay. The new law would apply to all public employee unions except fire, police, and state troopers unions. Cheryl Moronto is the chair of the Department of Management at the Marquette University College of Business Administration and is a labor relations expert. She spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke and put the proposed changes in context.
It's a huge deal. I think, to use one word, devastating. I think effectively it will eliminate unions in the public sector in Wisconsin. I mean, essentially what the proposal says is that the only thing they can bargain over is base wages, and even that is limited to whatever the increase is in the CPI, or else you have to go to referendum. So effectively, there's not even really any negotiation over wages. And then in addition to have that requirement that every year they have to recertify, the union has to recertify its bargaining status. Even if you were a very strongly pro-union employee, why would you want a union that was barred from doing anything for you?
And at the same time, it also makes it optional for employees to contribute to their employee unions.
Correct.
Union leaders say this comes after 50 years of peaceful bargaining, which seems like it might be looking at the past through rose-colored lenses, because I don't know that peaceful is necessarily exactly the word that everybody would use. But what happened? Can you give us a little history? Why has it been 50 years? And does this move come with any precedent?
There's really no precedent that I'm aware of. History is, I believe Wisconsin was the first state in the union to actually allow public sector workers to organize and bargain, certainly among the first. And it was really part of our very proud progressive tradition. You know, certainly over the years, I would agree that I wouldn't necessarily always characterize negotiations as peaceful, although certainly there were very few strikes. So I guess it kind of depends on how you would define that. But, you know, the reality is that for 50 years, contracts were negotiated and things moved along. So,
how about the split between some state employee unions and others? Is there any way to spin this so that it is not basically just a political move?
Well, I don't want to say whether it's a political move or not. Certainly, you know, you could argue that there would be other ways to get the concessions that Governor Walker is attempting to get other than basically taking a meat axe to bargaining rights. So I guess in that sense, you could argue it's political.
But in terms of police, fire, and state trooper unions being exempt?
Yeah, I don't know if he's – I guess you'd have to ask him why the differentiation. But it would seem that – I mean, the fact that he proactively threatened unions who walked out with using the National Guard seems to – he's implying – that there will be job action when, you know, there's certainly no evidence that that would have been the case in any event. So I think he, whatever he's thinking, and I don't know what it is, but I think he has some pretty firm ideas in his mind about how different unions will react and what's considered essential, et cetera.
You say you don't know of any precedent in Wisconsin for a move like this. Is this, how about precedent outside of the state? Have there been similar moves to really limit the effectiveness of state unions elsewhere in the country?
I believe Indiana is looking at a similar thing, although Indiana never had as strong bargaining rights as we did. And it was much more recent than ours. And I believe there's one other state, I don't recall offhand. There may be Ohio. There are a couple of other states that are looking at this, but it's all been just within this year. There's certainly been no precedent prior to this year.
If the ability for state workers to unionize and collectively bargain has been so tenuous that it can be changed in practically an instant, why hasn't another governor already made this move, or why hasn't it been codified in a stronger way?
I don't know that it can be codified in a stronger way. The fact is, basically, if you go back to the 60s when public sector bargaining first really began to be common, there was a big debate over whether because a state was a sovereign power, it was even legal to bargain with the union. And I think that that question was settled, that they certainly could. But unless you can find some sort of protection in the Constitution, there's really nothing that guarantees it. I mean, effectively, bargaining rights right now for public sector employees are a creature of the state laws.
And really, there was nothing that kept a previous governor from doing this except for philosophy.
I believe that is correct.
There are some who are saying that the proposal sends a message to labor outside state agencies. Can something like this actually have a ripple effect on other organized labor? I mean, some are saying that this is a contradiction of the Walker administration's open for business claim. Do you see this as sending a message to other industries that are not necessarily state government?
Well, actually, the public sector is far more highly unionized than the private sector. So that has been because historically public sector employers have not been as virulently anti-union as the private sector, and because it's much harder to pick up your jobs and move them to Sri Lanka if, you know, you are looking for lower labor costs. So, the public sector is the strength, really, certainly in terms of numbers. So if you go after the public sector and effectively drive unionization in that sector to zero, and I really believe that's where this is headed, then there will be even less strength overall in the labor movement for the private sector. So I think that's what I see as the biggest.
You say, as you point out, the state agencies can't just pick up their jobs and move them to Sri Lanka. But there are still some who are saying that a move like this might also cause people to quit their jobs and leave the state. Is that a phenomenon that's likely to occur?
Well, I certainly think that, as an employee group overall, public employees are more highly educated than private sector employees. And so to the extent that wages and benefits and working conditions deteriorate in the public sector, I think there is certainly a significant probability that those who can leave will.
Do you see this as a potentially shrinking the size of government through attrition?
Well, I think in a sense it's a separate question. You could still argue certainly if I think about K-12 education, for example. I mean, the services still have to be delivered. The question is, who are going to be our teachers in the classroom?
There are many who are saying that really what Governor Walker is doing is essentially just bringing the salaries and benefit, the total compensation package for state employees into line with private industry. What is your assessment of that analysis?
Well, actually, there was a study done very recently by Dr. Jeff Keefe at Rutgers University, and what he found was that once you control for education and experience and employer size and a bunch of other things that are important determinants of compensation, that on average, public sector employees are paid 3.7% less when you consider wages plus benefits. So what's going on is there's a very different mix in the compensation package with lower wages and higher benefits relative to the private sector.
So how closely do you think governors of other states dealing with the same kind of financial issues will be looking at how this plays out in Wisconsin?
Oh, I think it will be viewed very closely by others.
Cheryl Maranto, thanks so much.
Sure. Thank you, Mitch.
Cheryl Maranto is Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Management at the Marquette University College of Business Administration. She spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke. There's a link to more of WUWM's coverage of Governor Walker's budget repair bill at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, our dining contributor Ann Christensen pulls up to the table to discuss comfort food and where you can get it in Milwaukee. We'll be right back with that conversation when Lake Effect returns in a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.